WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
In hour number two of the program here on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And we have our Fun Friday question coming up for you in just a moment. But yesterday, I mentioned toward the end of the program that a famous movie house had hit the Airbnb market. So it was up for sale late last year, and there was some speculation about somebody might buy it and turn it into an Airbnb. And sure enough, that's what happened. And I'm talking about the home from my favorite movie of all time, Poltergeist. So the film, from my understanding, used this house in Simi Valley, California, for the exterior shots. That house in particular, and then the entire neighborhood as the Cuesta Verde neighborhood from the movie. I thought that they only used the exteriors of the house and that there were no interior shot in the home. Well, I'll get into that in a moment. But the news had come out that it was opening up as an Airbnb that people could rent out at a cost of $800 per night. And that you would be able to sleep in the house, and that they had taken the interior of the house and tried to make it look like the home did in the movie, because it didn't on the inside. So they had to do some work on the inside to make it look like the movie. I reached out to the Poltergeist house ownership, a woman named Rachel, through Facebook and through email to try to see if we can get her to come on the show, because I thought that's a fun kind of pop culture-y thing to discuss. And I love doing those kind of interviews. Didn't think I would hear back. Because I'm like, we're a radio station in New Bedford. Like, you know, they're going to want people that are kind of in the area. I don't know that would necessarily be a station that she'd be interested in appearing on. Well, she reached back out to me and said, hey, give me a call. Let's talk. So I spoke to her on the phone last night for almost an hour about how she came to own the house and some of the stuff that she's done on the inside and plans she has. And she's got the right idea about this. You know, it's about fan service. It's about making it a place that the fans of the film can come and experience and have the most authentic Poltergeist experience that they can. And, you know, have some fun too. So she was talking with me about the pains that she's going to try to get stuff that looks like the stuff that was in the movie. Right down to like the kitchen set. Looks like the kitchen set in the movie. And if you remember the film Poltergeist, that's how they first realize that there's paranormal activity going on, is the chairs move on their own. And it's a very distinct 1980s style chair. And she found that set. There's a lot. She found the TV that was on the kitchen counter. She found the TV that was in the living room. Now, they're not the exact ones from the movie. They're not the screen used ones, but they're the same model. And now she's moving on to trying to collect actual screen-used items to put in the house, almost like as a museum-type piece. But she's done a really great job of recreating how the movie looked in the film, how the house looked in the film. And she was telling me last night that some of the interior scenes were filmed at the house. So not everything was a soundstage. A lot of the stuff that was happening just in a room happened in the actual rooms of the house. You know, obviously when you're doing something like you need the beds to shake and, you know, things flying around the room and the closet door opening up and Carol Ann flying across the room, you know, you're going to need a soundstage for that because you got to have all the rigging to make that stuff happen because it was all practical effects. There wasn't CGI back then. But when it's just the family sitting around the dining room table or in the kitchen or anything, they film that stuff in the house. So you'll actually be in the house that Steven Spielberg was in as the producer of the film. Toby Hooper was in as the director of the film. The entire cast. So anyway, I had this great conversation with Rachel for an hour yesterday. And it was really just us, you know, geeking out about all things Poltergeist. And I said to her, you know, would you like to come on the show? And she's totally game for it. So because she obviously, you know, she's lives in the house part time. So she's in California. It's going to be hard for her to come on in the morning with us because it's going to be super early out there. So I told her we could pre-record something and I'll play it on the show. And as always, when I'm pre-recording these videos, these audio interviews, I usually just go into the production studio here and call somebody on the phone and record the phone call. A few times, because folks like to connect via StreamYard or Skype, well, I guess Skype's gone away, but, you know, programs like that, they would be like, well, I'm going to connect with my video so we can see each other. And sometimes I'll take that video and upload it. So, for example, when we did the media call with Johnny Damon for his appearance with the One South Coast Chambers Scholarship Dinner, that was on video. So I said, okay, well, we'll upload the video. You know, it's not something that we're necessarily looking for because we're an audio medium here, but it's something we can put up on our YouTube channel or our socials or something. And I don't normally think about video when we're having these conversations. But Rachel said to me last night, she's like, well, do you want me to do the call from the house? And I said, well, yeah, that'd be awesome. Adds an extra layer to the interview. And she said, okay, are we doing video or just audio? And I said, no, I just do audio because it's just going to be on the radio. And then I was like, no, wait a minute. She's asking me, like, do I want to see her in the Poltergeist house? I was like, you know what? Let's find a time to be able to do the video because that'll be really cool to not only for me to see, but that'll make it, you know, something that you might want to check out on the YouTube channel or on the social media channels. So we're going to do that. We're going to find a time next week. She's got some people staying in the house next week. But on a day when they are not staying, when we're both available, we're going to do, you know, 15, 20 minute interview with video. And then I'll play it on the show and have it available for you to check out. And she's going to tell us about all the plans she has. And it's really kind of fluid. I know I said, you know, it's $800 a night. But she was telling me, you know, that price is going to vary depending on the time of year, depending on, you know, the interest level. It does sleep up to, I think she said, 10 people. So if you take $800 and divide that by 10 people, because I think there's 4 bedrooms. So that's not bad at all. You know, that's about what you're going to pay for a night in a hotel, maybe even a little bit less. And you get to stay in the Poltergeist house. And she's going to give you a Poltergeist experience. One of the things that she's done for the people that stay there is, as I said, she has the TV that looks like the one from the movie. She has a VCR attached to that TV. And she has a VHS copy of Poltergeist. So people come over to stay in this house and they watch Poltergeist on an 80s TV on a VHS tape, which is just awesome. And so I told her, I was like, well, if I ever get the chance to get out there and stay, like I definitely want to watch the movie in the house. And she's like, well, we could also, you know, I got a projector. We hook it up in the backyard and we watch it by the pool. Like, oh man, she gets it. So as I mentioned, we'll have that next week. But that also made me think of today's Fun Friday question. I think everybody that listens to the show knows that's my favorite movie. You heard me talk about when I got it on a 4K Blu-ray and how I was blown away by, I felt like I was in the movie, like I was actually in the house because of the quality of the the picture and everything. It added a whole new dimension to the movie. And it made me think, you know, what movie would I most like to be in that location? So that's the question today. What movie or TV location would you most like to visit? And I don't mean going to see the soundstage where it was filmed. I mean like being in the place from the movie. So like I would like to go visit Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. I would like to be in the Land of Oz. I would like to go to, you know, any other place that you can think of. I'd like to go and visit the Avengers headquarters. I'd like to go and be at the Alamo with Pee Wee Herman. You know, like what place would you like to go to from a TV show or a movie? You can give me a call, 508-996-0500. You can also send an app chat message or an open line voicemail on the WBSM app, or you can answer it on our Facebook page. But I think there's a lot of places that would be cool to visit, but you wouldn't want to stay. Like I said, I'd love to visit Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but I don't think I'd want to stick around there too long, because I'd be one of the kids that ended up, you know, in the pipes or having Oompa Loompas sing a song about me. 508-996-0500. Also, a very interesting piece at newbedfordlight.org. If you are following along with the New Bedford election, even though we're still a couple months away, you know, things are starting to heat up. Candidates are announced. People who aren't running again have announced that they're not running again. So it's been very active in the last couple of weeks. And over at newbedfordlight.org, Anastasia Lennon and Colin Hogan have put together a piece where they have gone through the Office of Campaign and Political Finance documents and figured out exactly how much each candidate has and who some of the biggest donors are. So the title of the article is Following the Money in New Bedford Politics. Now, keep in mind that these donations are limited. So, by law. So there's only so much somebody can donate to a particular candidate. And when you go through it, it's not surprising to see some of the bigger names that make these donations. Obviously, unions are a big part of it. In fact, the number one contributor to local campaigns is the New Bedford Firefighters Union. They top the list at $13,330 to current New Bedford City Councilors. The Construction and General Laborers Union is next. That's people that work in the construction industry. $11,550. Then after that, Mike Camara, the CEO of ABC Disposal, which has, you know, been sold, but still is the third highest donor, $8,600 to various candidates. And the Laborers District Council is up there. Steve Silverstein, Jimmy DeMello, Mike Panagakis. So these aren't surprising names to see, but we're also not talking about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of donations either. We're talking about $5,500 in total. And the Light also looked at which candidates actually have the money. And I guess it's probably no surprise to people that the most popular councilor in terms of the popular vote is also the most contributed to councilor, that being Ian Abreu. He has about $63,000 in his account, with almost $11,000 raised this year. And you can see New Bedford Light's graph where they have the total amount that a councilor has and how much they've raised this year. Linda Morad is number two. She's got almost $47,000 in the bank, and she's not running again. And in fact, she's indicated that she is retiring from politics. So What becomes of that $47,000? Well, the light dives into that, but basically there's certain ways that candidates can donate that money to charities and different organizations. But then as you go down the list, you can see, you know, who's got the money for dealing with some of the challenges that they'll face. And we can certainly talk about that, 508-996-0500, or whatever else is on your mind. Let's take a phone call here before I got to go to my first break of this hour. Good morning, you're on WBSM. Morning, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good. My favorite movie is Alice in Wonderland. I absolutely love that since I was a kid.
So you'd want to go and visit Wonderland?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you sure? It didn't always work out so well for Alice in different versions.
Oh, I know. But I just have always been fascinated by that movie. I've always loved that movie.
It's certainly a place that it's unlike any other. And I think you look at Wonderland and you think I wouldn't fall into the same traps that Alice would. I'd be smarter than that. But then you get there and reality might be a little bit different.
Oh, absolutely. You never know until you're right there faced with everything. But yeah, I just have always been totally fascinated by everything that happens in that movie. So
like, how do you feel about randomly eating things that just says eat me on them?
Get a few drinks of me and I probably would do it.
Well, I mean, I said I'd go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory and they're in there licking the wallpaper. So that's probably no better.
I know. But that was my answer. I've always loved that movie forever and ever and ever. So,
well, I think that's a good one.
And I like the other ones too. They have like a darker side that's called Alice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but that's really, really good as well.
I mean, what's probably your favorite version of Wonderland?
Well, I really like Alice a lot because it's so different in a lot of ways. It's a little bit darker. It's a little bit, it's more intense as far as things that happen that really scare you. But I don't know, the classic Disney one, I guess, is the one I really, really like.
Yeah, and there was actually, before the series Alice, there was a video game called Alice on PlayStation 2, I think, or 3, where that was a very kind of twisted, mind-bending version of Wonderland. That I couldn't play that game too much because it just kind of weirded me out a little.
Mm-hmm.
But it was well done. It was a beautiful game.
Oh, I'm sure. But that just came to me right away when you said that. I was like, yep, that's where I'd like to go.
All right. Well, I hope that if you ever do get there, you know, you can taste everything without getting bigger or smaller or falling through rabbit holes or anything like that.
I know.
All right.
You have a great day.
You too.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500. We'll play our Fun Friday question brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. What movie or TV location would you most like to visit? And I'm not talking about the real life place that they made the movie at. I'm talking about in that world. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and we are getting some great responses via app chat to our Fun Friday question of what location from a TV or movie would you most want to visit? If you could visit one place from a movie or a TV show, where would it be? And we'll get into some of those answers coming up. Right now, before we go into the news, as the sun is shining bright and directly into the studio, I've got the blinds down, but I wish these blinds were solar panels instead, because then we'd be powering up the studio on solar. That could be your home. You could be making that switch, and then next summer, you're not even going to have to worry about how much the air conditioning is running. Heat waves, fine, bring them on, because your electric bill is going to be next to nothing, if not getting paid by the electric company. How does it all work? Isaacson Solar can explain it to you much better than I can. Reach out to them at isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and talk to them about going solar. They'll come and answer all your questions. They'll tell you if you're a good fit for solar. And if you are, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. So what are you waiting for? Find out. Maybe you're going to make the switch. Maybe you want to have them build you a nice carport so when the wintertime comes, your car is protected and you don't have to worry about scraping it off or clearing off snow or anything like that while those solar panels are helping you generate electricity. All that and more, isaacsonsolar.com. All right, let's go into the news and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. And on the other side of that, today's edition of the Gen X Files.
A bus trip with Pope Leo, a record for corn in Iowa, and a box office preview.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A Pope Leo XIV themed bus tour has launched in the Chicago area.
Stops on the tour include his childhood home in Dalton, the former Mercy Hospital on Chicago's south side where he was born, and Holy Name Cathedral on the near north side where his parents were married in 1949. The 2.5-hour tour costs $65. I'm Monica Nelson.
The FDA is considering a move to revoke the authorization of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children under the age of 5.
Pfizer confirmed Wednesday and noted in a statement that the deliberations are not related to the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. It follows a Health and Human Services announcement saying the CDC would no longer recommend the vaccines for healthy children or pregnant women, since Moderna and Novavax shots are now approved for more limited populations. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Air Canada grounding flights ahead of a potential flight attendant strike this weekend. The airline will scale up the cancellations each day, which will result in a total shutdown by Saturday. The airline's 10,000 flight attendants are pushing for higher wages and better compensation and have announced their intention to strike. New research showing certain weight loss drugs could be linked to eye-related issues. A couple of studies published in JAMA looks into Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, and the impact that they have been having on eye health in Americans with type 2 diabetes. One study shows the modest risk in developing an eye condition that could result in vision loss. Another study showed an increased risk of other eye issues. Governor Ron DeSantis opening a new immigration detainment center in North Florida to house an additional 1,300 people.
We are calling this the Deportation Depot. It is going to be located here at Baker Correctional Institute. And again, the reason of this is not to just house people indefinitely. We want to process, stage, and then return illegal aliens to their home country.
DeSantis says there is demand for the Deportation Depot with up to 100,000 illegal immigrants in Florida on final removal orders. This comes about a month after Southern Florida's so-called Alligator Alcatraz. Pointing to the success of Alligator Alcatraz, he says more migrants are opting for voluntary departure, which means a free plane ticket home. He added that the Baker County facility is 15 minutes from the Lake City Airport. 4 people dead after massive flooding in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 6 inches of rain fell in the area overnight Tuesday into Wednesday. 2 adults and a child killed when a tree was uprooted and fell on their SUV. President Trump announced on Wednesday that KISS will be among the recipients of this year's Kennedy Center honors.
This is the first group of honorees to be named since Trump took over the Kennedy Center as chairman. Trump, who announced he will host this year's ceremony, says KISS is going to do something very special at the ceremony. Other honorees include Sylvester Stallone, country artist George Strait, and R&B artist Gloria Gaynor, famous for the disco anthem, I Will Survive. I'm Mark Mayfield.
It's looking like this will be a boom year for corn. Economist Chad Hart with the Iowa State University.
We're looking at not only a record corn yield, but corn production. It's nationwide, and it's not just a record by a little. It's a record by a lot.
The USDA forecasting 16.7 billion bushels of corn this year, up 13% over last year. Hart says the large supply of corn will likely lower prices, and that makes it harder for farmers to profit. Weapons expected to take first place among the weekend box office. The Zach Cregger-directed thriller looking to make between $20 to $22 million in its second outing. The action film, Nobody 2, will battle it out with Freakier Friday for second place, both expected to net around $10 to $12 million. Also new this week, the crime thriller Americana, starring Sydney Sweeney, Paul Walter Hauser, and Halsey.
WBSM Sports.
The Marlins come to Boston tonight. Red Sox hosting Miami. First pitch, 7:10 tonight. Tomorrow, 4:10. And Sunday afternoon at 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good morning and happy Friday. Beautiful stretch of weather starts today with temperatures in the upper 60s this morning and low humidity, lower than the last few days anyway. Then this afternoon, we stay nice and dry. Temperatures on either side of 80 degrees for the coast. And as you head inland, we're looking at the low 80s. Paired with sunshine and that nice dry feel, it's going to be a great day to get outside. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And it is time for our daily look at all things pop culture.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Linda Ellerbe, who taught Gen X about journalism with her shows on Nickelodeon, turns 81 years old today. Princess Anne is 75. Philanthropist Melinda Gates turns 61. Will and Grace star Deborah Messing is 57. Actor Anthony Anderson is 55. And Oscar winner Ben Affleck is 53. Affleck, either way. His brother just had a birthday the other day, too. Actress Natasha Henstridge turns 51. Professional beach volleyball player Kerry Walsh is 47. Emily Kinney, who starred on The Walking Dead and is also a singer, she's 40. Speaking of singers, Joe Jonas turns 36. And actress Jennifer Lawrence is 35 today. August 15th, 1976, ABBA released Dancing Queen as the lead single from their fourth studio album, Arrival. Dancing Queen, which actually had the working title of Boogaloo, went on to top the charts in more than a dozen countries, including the United States, where it became ABBA's only number one hit. In 1977, the Big Ear, a radio telescope operated by Ohio State University as part of the SETI project, received a radio signal from deep space, 6EQUJ5. The event was named the WOW signal from the notation made by Jerry Amon on the project. The signal appears to have come from the northwest of the global cluster of the M55 in the constellation Sagittarius near the Chi star group. Anyway, 1979, Francis Ford Coppola's acclaimed Vietnam War film Apocalypse Now opened in theaters. I love the smell of pop culture reports in the morning. 15th of August, 1991, Paul Simon played a free concert in New York City's Central Park before an audience of 750,000 people. 1991, Nirvana played a concert at the Roxy Theater in Los Angeles, where they invited fans to attend the shoot for their first video, Smells Like Teen Spirit, which was being filmed 2 days later. Hundreds of fans showed up at the shoot and appeared in the video. In 1992, Nickelodeon began airing its Saturday night programming known as SNICK. It debuted with two successful shows, Clarissa Explains It All and Ren and Stimpy, moving over from Sundays, along with new programs Roundhouse and Are You Afraid of the Dark? August 15th, 1992, Boys to Men started a 13-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with End of the Road, the group's first U.S. number one. It was taken from the Eddie Murphy film Boomerang, and it broke the 36-year-old record held by Elvis Presley for the longest run at number one. And in 2003, horror icons clashed with the release of the film Freddy vs. Jason, giving Gen X the first opportunity to see their favorite slashers go machete to claws on the big screen. That's the Gen X Files for August 15th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you should get over there and try some of their delicious homemade ice cream this weekend, including the special flavor that they have for Community Nurse, which is blueberry with lemon and white chocolate chips. It looks amazing. I have not had a chance to get over there. I was over there the other day, and I didn't stop in. Maybe today is the day. All right. That is your Gen X Files for today, and we'll pick it back up again with another report on Monday. But our Fun Friday question today is kind of pop culture related. Of course, Fun Friday brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, Tarkin Hill Road, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a drink for just $5. But our question today, if you could visit one place from a movie or TV show, where would it be? And as I mentioned earlier, this question came up because if you are like me and Poltergeist is your favorite movie, you can actually stay in the Poltergeist house. And after my conversation with Rachel, the owner, yesterday, I think I might plan a trip out there, even if just for a night. But we're getting some fun answers that are coming in via app chat. You can answer it either by calling in. You can give me a call, 508-996-0500. You can send an app chat message or an open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Or you can comment on our Facebook page under the Fun Friday graphic there. But we got some good answers in here. Dave in New Bedford says, I would like to see the baseball field featured in Field of Dreams. It seems like a cool baseball park. And they actually do have a real Field of Dreams now. And as you've probably seen, they do a game there, I think, every year now with Major League Baseball. But to go to the actual farm from the movie and the place where the magic is happening, where these I guess, ghosts are coming out of the cornfield, that would be pretty special. I used to love that movie. I read the book. So in the movie, the character's name and in the book is Ray Kinsella. It was actually written by W.P. Kinsella. And in the book, what's his name? Is it Terrence Mann or something like that? It was the name of the James Earl Jones character. But in the book, he finds J.D. Salinger. So it's if you've never read the book, it takes the story to a whole different level. And but it's just a great story overall. I actually read some of his other books, and I didn't like them as much as that one. Mr. M in New Bedford says, how about staying in the basement of the house in Salem's Lot? No, thanks. I'm still freaked out about that movie. Yeah, I think that would not be a place I would want to visit. And also along with some of the locations from the movie It, no thanks. I don't need to go to those places either. But I think when it comes to Stephen King-related movies, I wouldn't mind staying in the hotel from The Shining. It would definitely be scary and try to kill me, but I think it would be, I'd be intrigued to see what it comes up with to try to scare me. And PJ in New Bedford says, I would love to spend the rest of my life in Mayberry with Don Knotts. I mean, if you're going to pick an idyllic place to live, it doesn't get any better than Mayberry. There's a lot of places that, you know, again, I'm talking about the location that's in the movie or the TV show. Like, you're going into that world, not you get to go to the soundstage where it was filmed, or you know, you get to go to the place where they filmed this movie or that. Like, you can do that. That's a real thing. You can, you want to go to the park, or the fountain from Friends, you know, from the opening of Friends. You can go there. You can do that. You can go make your own version of the Friends opening. You can do that. I'm talking about getting into that world, like going to the Brady Bunch house and visiting the Bradys. I'm talking about going to Gilligan's Island. Hopefully not getting stuck on Gilligan's Island. Again, what's the joke? The professor can build anything. He can build a radio out of coconuts, but he can't fix a hole in a boat. But that's our fun Friday question, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. And great answer so far. I'd love to hear yours. Let's take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. It is Fun Friday here on the program, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. A couple of programming notes for you. Tomorrow morning, normally we would have the Paul Santos show from 7 to 9. Paul's on vacation this week, though. So we're going to have some syndicated network programming for you before Ken Pittman comes in at 9. So just keep that in mind. If you don't hear Paul tomorrow, he is on vacation. He'll be back next week. And then also, Chris McCarthy is going to have quite the show today, because at 9 a.m. he is going to have City Councilor Naomi Carney in studio with him. And then at 11 a.m., Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette will be here. And there's been a lot of news regarding the City Council in recent days and weeks. So they're going to have a lot to discuss. And they'll take, you, of course, your phone calls as well at 508-996-0500. I was talking earlier about the report at NewBedfordLight.org where they looked at the campaign contributions to each counselor and how much each counselor has in their account. And you can see, you know, I mean, obviously, you don't need the same amount of funds for a ward race that you might need for an at-large race, and certainly not for like a statewide race. So the numbers might be a little bit misleading in some cases. I shouldn't say misleading, but you might not have the context of how those numbers work. Like, you might look and say somebody only has $5,000 and you say, well, gee, that's not a lot of money. But $5,000 is probably a decent amount for an incumbent counselor to be able to fund a campaign. You know, what do you need to do? Well, you got to get signs made. Signs are probably the number one thing that candidates look for. Chris can talk about this better than I can because, you know, he's actually got the background in this, both running as a candidate and advising others. But I would think campaign signs number one. But number two is probably, you know, advertising, radio advertising here, online advertising, maybe, I guess, taking out an ad in a newspaper if you think anybody still reads those. So there's, you know, there's things that you have to spend money on, but it doesn't take a whole bunch, especially if you're just in a ward race. So you might look at some of those numbers and say, gee, that seems low, but it could be enough. And you should call in and ask Chris. He would know better than I do if it's enough. But you don't need to have, you know, the $63,000 in there that some might have to be able to launch a successful campaign. I got one more break here I got to get in before the end of the hour. Let me do that, and we'll be right back. All right. We're going to be going into the news here in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Our Fun Friday question today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. If you could visit one place from a movie or a TV show, where would it be? Where would you like to go and be in that world?